Jan woke the next day to find Tobias sitting at the opening of his tent, filling his clay pipe, talking to Orlender and Talo. They greeted Jan with warm smiles. Had last night been a dream? Jan wondered.
I have been thinking. Have you a talisman?
Asked Tobias. No, said Jan, feeling strangely different, as if some great burden had been lifted from him.
Every tawny boy needs a talisman. You need one more than most, said Tobias,
and he took from his pocket a perfect seashell.
Baro seroiske sharkuni, the very shell of the shells, he said, handing it to Jan. It holds great magic. I've been waiting a long time to hand this on. It's meant for you.
No, said Jan firmly. It's too precious. I cannot take it.
You are a king amongst the gypsies, Jan Margoza. Take the talisman. Wear it with pride, and it'll keep you safe.
On the 11th of August, the Duchesse de Lamont, worried for the Marquis de Ville Duval's safety, sent a messenger to inform the Marquis of the serious situation in Paris. The Swiss guards had been massacred and the royal family arrested. She also thought the Marquis should know that Count Kalinowski was calling for the execution of the king. In the light of all these developments, the Duchesse de Lamont was sure that her friend could not now countenance his daughter marrying such a man, and she advised him to leave France at the first possible opportunity. The Marquis de Ville Duval refused to receive the Duchesse's messenger. Since Kalinowski's last visit, reality had become a stranger to him. While the frayed edges of his sanity daily unwound, he chose to remain locked away in his suite of rooms, studying his collection of shoe buckles. Nightly now, he walked through the chateau's empty salons while ghosts danced before him, dressed in all their finery and tall, powdered wigs. It was left to Cedo to read the letter, and after that she knew that it was all too late for herself and her father. She slipped downstairs to join the servants in the kitchen, where they crowded round the Duchesse's messenger.
I've never seen anything like it. Why, the very air of the city is electric. At midnight, the church bells rang out from steeple to steeple. That's the tocsin that alerts you to danger. Followed by a thousand drums and a boom of guns. I'll wager not one person slept, for terror those bells awoke in them.
Oh, dear Lord, what will become of us? Said Agathe.
Quiet, said Jean. Go on.
What happened then?
Well, yesterday morning, at dawn, the citizens rose up and marched to the Tuileries Gardens. They were shouting, "Down with the veto! Down with the tyrant!" The troops from the south sang the Marseillaise. They were armed to the teeth. Guns, knives, bayonets, swords, you name it. They hacked the Swiss guards to death. They didn't stand a chance. The king just abandoned them, only interested in his own skin.
Oh, lordy lord,
wept Agathe. Jean sighed.
A bonfire of hate has been ignited. God alone knows what earthly force can put it out now.
And the rest of Paris?
Asked Bernard.
There are fires burning all over the city. The citizens are breaking into the aristocrats' houses, looting, killing their servants, smashing their furniture and burning and destroying anything of value.
Will they do the same here? Asked Lucille. She was almost beside herself with fear.
Who knows? When I left, they were calling for the blood of the nobility to wash the streets of Paris clean, and they started to tear down buildings where aristocrats had taken refuge.
Enough, interrupted Jean. You're frightening everyone.
By the time the messenger had left, Cedo could see what would happen next.
I have a wife and children, said Michel Floret, the gardener.
I'm afraid to be phoned here.
This seemed to go for all the servants, who sorrowfully and apologetically made their excuses and filed out of the kitchen. Only two stayed sitting at the kitchen table, Jean and Bernard.
Eh bien,
said Jean, getting out a bottle of wine. There's nothing more for it. We'll just have to sit it out and make plans for our escape if the chateau is attacked.
I agree, said Bernard.
No, said Cido. You must go too. I shall stay with my father.
But, mademoiselle, it's not safe for you here.
Cido tried to look calm. The Marquis has put all his hope for our survival in the wall.
Bernard let out a whistle.
That wall is a farce.
Well, what do you mean? Asked Cido.
His labourers hated him for putting the rent so high. Their revenge was to use more sand in the mix than they should have. If it's attacked, the wall will collapse as easily as a child's castle of bricks.
Cido felt weak and sat down. Even more reason for you to go, then.
No, said Jean firmly. We're not leaving you.
I thank you, said Cido.